Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
With Chrissy Confessions. How are you today?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Well, honey, that's about all any of us can do right now.
Yep.
You gotta hang in until you can hang out.
Right. I guess that's what they say.
So tell me what's the latest with you in your life, darling? I mean, what are the things that have been on your mind lately? And things that you would like to talk about today?
Well, everyone knows that we're living through a nightmare.
Yes.
And I have been focused on not living in fear, which is something that Steve told me and gave me this acronym for fear. False evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. And it is something that I struggle so hard with because I do feel like I live in fear. I feel like that I know in my heart that I am a Christian. I believe God. I believe that God can work miracles. I believe that He will take care of my family, that if I died today, I know where I'm going, but I still have this fear. And I'd also know that the pain that God allows has a purpose. And when I try to lean into my own understanding is when I crash and burn. And you know yourself, I read a lot, I pray a lot, I listen to a lot of sermons, podcasts, everything. But I think just listening to them without application is not transforming.
I love that. I mean, I was just looking at something and you said that and I literally stopped what I was doing and looked up at that. Say it again.
That all the information I take in from prayers to sermons to podcasts to books that I read, they're all great. But without application, I'm not being transformed. So I think that's where I think that's where my disconnect is right now, is that I'm reading, yes, I'm praying, yes, I'm doing all of this, but I sit here and read and pray and say, God, I know you have me. I read in the Bible where He says He will take care of me. He will guide me. He will protect me. Where two or three are gathered in His presence, there He will be also. God will never, if you have your eyes on Him, He will never put you through more than what you can stand. But then I turn around and live throughout the rest of my day in fear.
In fear.
And so I think that's something that I am struggling with right now. And I think it is requiring me to grow my faith. But I know that transformation comes with the rain, that the new growth comes with the rain. And I know, as you have said before, you talked about Job many times, God caused Job's calamity. And He gave the devil permission to strip Job down, just said, you will spare his life, though. So God needed to strip Job down in order to put him and get him to the place where he needed to be. And maybe that's where we are right now, in this stripping down period, where we've got to be stripped down in order to be able to move to the next level, to be able to fulfill what our true destiny is.
Right. And let's go back to God building you, then breaking you, then blessing you.
Right.
Because Job was stripped down.
Right.
So he was already built up, and then he was broken down.
Right.
And then he was blessed.
Right. And I think about that, though. I mean, you know, God took his wife, his kids, everything, mm-hmm. and he never lost faith. And
I just, it's, you know, it's hard to fathom that someone could have that kind of faith.
Yeah.
It really is hard to fathom.
Yeah, it is. Because we have a lot of surface stuff that we believe in.
Uh-huh.
And not a lot of foundational stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't think about deep stuff till we have adversity.
That's right.
We don't think about, you know, just like we had talked about Grayson had a car accident. We don't think about how quickly we could lose a child until you get that phone call that your child has been in a horrific car accident.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I have learned is that God allows bad things to happen to good people so that we make a free will decision to turn to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that because, you know, I've had people who are not believers say, if your God is so good, why would he allow this to happen? Why would he allow my loved one to die? Why would he allow me to lose everything? Why would he allow my spouse to cheat on me? Why would he allow me to lose a child? And I think it goes back to that free will that God wants us to turn to him.
Mm-hmm. Freely.
Freely. And you know, if anything, this season has taught me to learn to walk above my circumstances. And that is something that Steve has been very, very instrumental in, and is helping me to learn to walk above my circumstances, meaning that, yes, bad things are going to happen. Yes, things out of my control are going to happen, but I have to stay focused on the end goal. And I think we get caught up in thinking this world here is our end goal, but it's not. It's just the very tip of the iceberg. It's just the very beginning.
Agreed. Agreed. And, you know, it's so hard to think that things are going to get better when the worst keeps happening.
Yeah.
It really is. It's so hard to get to a place of understanding and of kind of getting your balance again.
Right.
Before something else knocks you down again.
Right.
And, you know, I think that that with God, you have that opportunity to know that no matter how many times you're knocked down through Christ, you're getting back up.
Yeah.
It may take you a minute, but you're going to get back up. And, you know, sometimes the greatest setbacks are just, it's just a setup for a greater comeback.
Right.
And you know what? And your comeback may not be where you think it should be.
Right.
It may be a whole new way of living.
Right.
It may be God pushing you closer to your destiny of why you were sent here and what you're supposed to fulfill.
Right.
And sometimes we get comfortable in what we believe our destiny is, because that destiny that we're experiencing, that we're living right now, is so comfortable that, well, obviously this is my destiny.
Right. It's a feel-good moment.
Yeah. How blessed am I to have this destiny?
Right.
But only God knows who that what your destiny is.
Right.
And how you're going to get, and how you're going to achieve
right.
it.
And sometimes I think when you're not a good steward of your time, your money, mm-hmm. your energy, your knowledge,
mm-hmm.
he has a way of stripping you down to say, okay, I gave you this easy, cushy ride and you just went on about it. You never glorified me in it or through it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to strip you down mm-hmm. so that you see what is important, so that next time, let's hope, doesn't take that again Let's hope you see it the next time. Mm-hmm. Let's hope you acknowledge it the next time. Let's hope you are mindful of where it came from and whose you are.
Yes.
Who you belong to truly. Because we love to love ourselves. We love to get caught up in this thing that we control our destiny. We control what we do. We control, you know, we have all this control, you know, and I think a lot of times it comes when you're successful, when you think you have money or you have position, and we're not in control of any of it.
No, no. I think that is the biggest misconception of mankind, is that we're in control of our own destiny, that we're in control of our own future. And so I feel like that when we start becoming so prideful and so boastful and we lose our humility, is when God, that's a warning sign to God. Maybe they need to be stripped down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they need to remember where they came from.
Right.
Maybe they need to know that I died on the cross for them.
Right.
Maybe they need to be reminded that they are washed in my blood.
Right.
You know, I think that we all have those moments in our life to where, you know, things are kind of just singing along, you know, no big adversity,
right.
You know, life's good.
Yep.
Been able to pay the mortgage this month, pay all the utilities, everything's on time. So life's good until it's not.
Right.
And then we want to blame God. God, why did you allow this to happen?
Right.
Well, maybe this is the only way God can get your attention.
Right.
Because here we were living a very nice life. It wasn't a life that I had truly wanted, you know, after I got into it, that I wanted to continue living, because, you know, I didn't like the lack of privacy. I didn't like that, you know, people were knocking on our doors at 11 and 12 o'clock at night. I didn't like people chasing us down the interstate, you know, trying to get us to pull over and get our pictures because they see us in the car. You know the issues that I've had with that and the anxiety that I have over that. But when you go back and look, and, you know, I think that it was said to us that literally 1% of the population will have a successful television show.
Right.
And the other 99% of the population's looking at that and thinking, well, they hit the lottery.
Yeah.
But they don't have any idea the price of that lottery.
Right.
They don't have any idea the price of fame.
Yeah.
And the lack of privacy. The millions of opinions that you invite into your life by taking on a public platform.
Right.
And so I think that one of the greatest losses that we as a family have suffered is privacy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for some members of our family, they have suffered more than others with negative comments that people make or that are hurtful or what have you. And I'm not saying that the comments don't hurt my feelings, but they don't change my life.
Right.
They're not something that's going to, I'm not giving Maud in Mayberry, who just talks smack about me on Twitter, I'm not giving her free rent in my head. She's not getting a place at my table.
Right.
You don't even know me, and you've got right. this opinion of me. And so I just think that for us and for me, that, you know, you do have to be a good steward
yeah.
of what's entrusted in you. And I look back on this journey and I look at our stewardship, you know, with me and you and our kids. And could we have done more? We could have.
Yeah.
We absolutely could have done more.
Yeah.
And I think that I justify that. But where was the time going to come from?
Yeah.
We're filming literally 5 and 6 days a week.
Right.
You know, 12 and 14 hours a day. Where is the time coming from for us to do any more? What more could we do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you are limited by time, then you up your contribution in resources.
Right.
And when you are limited in resources, you up your time and hands-on.
Yeah.
And personal.
Yeah.
Physical. And so that's what I'm trying to teach our children.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, if you can't give it physically with your time, then you have to give it financially.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give
and
back
to God. If
you
can't give it financially, you give it with your time.
That's right. You give it physically.
Okay, guys. So you know that Savannah turned me on to Nutrafol years ago, and I have been using it ever since. And like 30 million women who are impacted by weakened or thinning hair, I am among one of them now. No, you're not alone, and there's a solution you can trust to deliver results. Thousands of women have taken back control of their hair with Nutrafol, with many users raving that the supplement not only transformed their hair, but restored their confidence too. Nutrafol offers two targeted formulas for women that are clinically shown to improve hair growth and thickness with less shedding through all stages of life. Healthier hair growth takes time. You'll begin to experience thicker, stronger, faster growing hair in 3 to 6 months. More than 1,500 top doctors recommend Nutrafol as an effective and high quality solution for healthier hair. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code CC to save $15 off your first month's subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CC.
And so I think that those are some lessons that I've learned, you know, about being a good steward. But I think that we have learned so many lessons just in life in general because, you know, I'm proud to be your husband. I think you're an amazingly wonderful, hugely dynamic, inspirational, God-fearing human being. And I'm proud to call you my wife.
Thank you.
And not many, I mean, you know, a lot of men, you know, love their wives. But do a lot of men and women have that opinion of each other?
Right.
You know, that I have of you.
Right.
I mean, I can honestly say, folks, that the love and the respect that I have for you is beyond anything I've ever experienced in my life. And you have taught me so much for me to act like you've taught me so little, because the pride would not allow me to say, well, you know what? You're right. You're right. And you being so secure in your position at that moment, you didn't need to be right because you knew you were right. And I think that's a blessing, because that helped me to, you know, there might have been moments where I'm like, well, she knew. I mean, she knew that I was right. That's why she didn't fight it. And then I come back to, I'm like, you idiot. She didn't argue with you because she didn't want you to feel any more dumb than you already were. She was secure in her position. So,
well, I want you to know that I feel the same way. I think we kind of both had a bad day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're okay with it, I had sent you a text. And it was a text that I just felt on my heart that I needed to send to you at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, just know that I love you with every fiber of my being. You and God dwell where no one ever has or ever will. And that's how I truly feel. And I think that is a blessing that I've had all along, but I think saying that to you was important for me.
And it came at such a low point in my day yesterday. And that's why I responded to you the way that I did, because that message meant more than you know. Not that I needed to be, not that I needed an affirmation of how you feel about me, because I know that. But just the way that you worded that only God and myself dwell in this one specific place in your life and in your heart. It was one of the most powerful things that's ever happened to me. It truly was, and I thank you for that. And I feel good, and I feel like God is moving in me right now. I feel good as a man knowing that you know how I feel about you. As vulnerable as that may make me to you, because, you know, in the beginning, I didn't want you knowing how much I loved you. Out of fear, you would think that you could use that against me, or, you know, I could threaten to leave him and that he's going to fall apart or whatever. You know, all the things that you feel when you're young and you're insecure and whatever. I'm grateful to God that I don't have that. And I haven't had that since probably 2 years after we got married. But in those first 2 years, I was, you know, I had to make you feel like that, you know, well, if you don't want to stay, don't stay. I mean, kick rocks and Skechers.
Right.
You know, there's another one waiting. And once I realized 2 years into it that there will never be another one like you waiting, was when I realized that, dude, you need to stop. You need to settle down. You need to understand some of the things that you say and how you deliver it. You need to humble yourself. So, I mean, I just think that I'm blessed to be able to be in a position, to be able to be that vulnerable with you and to the world. I'm proud for the world to know how much I love you.
Right. Well, and I think when people go through traumatic events, you know, a lot of times they don't make it. A lot of times the relationship falls apart. Because, you know, everything is stressful and there's, you know, way added pressures and people don't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful that our relationship has grown instead mm-hmm. of falling apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we could have, you know, it could have gone in a different direction. The stress could have pulled us apart.
Absolutely.
And so many people, I think, have prayed for that.
Right.
And, it's, that is a blessing.
Yes. And for me, it is also a blessing that my children see it, because I have said, you know, this is the biggest adversity I've ever gone through in my entire life, but I want to go through it right. And when I say I want to go through it right, I want my kids to see me be strong. I want my kids to see me sticking in there. Mm-hmm. I want my kids to see me fighting for them and for us, for our family, and for what's right. And because I do believe it's going to prepare them for the hards that they have in their life.
Yes.
Down the road. Now, I hope they never have anything that even comes close to what we are going through.
Right.
Yeah, but they're going through it too.
Yes.
But
maybe what they're going through right now is exactly what you said. It's prep for their hard in their life.
Right.
And because I can tell you that I don't know that I would have been able to have sustained what we're going through right now had I not survived going through breast cancer with you.
Right.
And the fear of losing you. I don't know that I would be where I am today if I hadn't gone through that and then losing my dad.
Right.
You know, and you were diagnosed in March, and then I lost him in July, and then all the financial stuff that went on with, you know, within the company and all that stuff. I wouldn't have survived one of those after the other without the first one being in place.
Right.
So I think that my original hard was my first divorce, fighting for custody of Lindsay and Kyle. And I worried about that. And I worry about that.
Right.
You know, that was, you know, that was my hard. But then it was nothing compared to going through what I went through with you.
Right.
And then what I went through with you was certainly not what I went through with my dad.
Right.
And then what I went through with my dad is, as bad as I hate to say this, burying a parent is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yes.
But I honest and truly can say that I don't think it was as hard as what I'm going through right now.
Right.
And that's a sad thing to say.
Yeah.
But I deal with that every day. I deal with that every day.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to getting through every day. Just, right. You know, there are people who are listening to this podcast that are just trying to get through the day. And we're there with them. We're just trying to get through the day. And I think that it's okay. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to have that moment where you just have to break down and cry.
Mm-hmm.
I've had many, 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 many of those in the last few years, in the last few months, especially. And it's okay. But I do think we have to dig down deep and find that strength that we didn't even know we had in order to keep going for our, I can only speak for me, for my own mental health that I feel has suffered because of the trauma, because of what we have gone through. And, you know, we've talked about mental health on Chrisley Confessions, and we'll continue as long as we have the platform, how important it is. And it has been something that I've had to work on for the last few months in a way that I've never had to work on in my life.
But look at the strength that has come from that, and look at from the power of God that has not forsaken you in that.
Right.
That has given you the strength to do it.
And there have been days when I did not feel I had that strength. There are days when I never really could never really comprehend how people just were like, I just don't know that I want to go on, or that I can't go on, or that it's worth going on. And I think until you've had those feelings, you can't relate. And when you experience it, you either have to decide that you're going to give in to it, which unfortunately so many people do, or that you're going to find the strength to keep going. And I've made the decision to find the strength to keep going. And if not for me, for you, for my kids, for my parents, for your mom. Because I'm the caretaker. I've taken care of this family for almost 30 years. And I've made the decision that I'm not going to give up. But have there been days that I wanted to? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel that. I mean, I have felt that personally. But then I realize what a disappointment it would be for our children to see us do that, because they've never seen us do that. I mean, at your worst, you fought for your life. You fought to survive, to be here to raise them.
Yeah.
And so I think that for us, or for me, just speaking about myself personally, I think that whether you realize it or not, we all feed off of you, just like you feed off of me and the kids feed off of me. And we feed off of each other. Because I really think that if you pay attention, you look at when someone in the family is having a tough day, the rest of the family is there lifting up. So thank God we're not all falling apart at the same time.
Right.
It's cyclical.
Yeah.
So that's a blessing right there.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, you might remember me from Teen Mom 2, but my 15 minutes is almost up. So I'm back with another podcast. I'm your barely famous host, Kale Lowry, and I'm catching up with people from my past, putting my exes on the hot seat, and chatting with TikTokers, influencers, and other reality stars. Get weird with me every Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And, you know, and you go back to, you know, why us? And I keep saying, why not us? I mean, you know, we're no different than anybody else. We don't deserve to lead a life, you know, free of heartache and trials and, you know, ups and downs. You know, I mean, it's part of life. Now, not everyone walks the same walk. Not everyone goes through the same fire.
Right.
But, you know, everyone has a fire in their life.
Yeah.
And it just come, you just have to hope that the damage is minimal.
Right.
You know, when you're having to walk through the fire. That's really all that you can, that's really the best that you can hope for. And so I just think that for me, that a lot of my strength has come from watching you navigate a lot of this. And I can tell when you're getting ready to have that breakdown moment. But I think you sense it when I'm having that breakdown moment.
Yeah.
And again, that goes back to the blessing of God.
Right.
That he placed two people together.
To be in sync.
That are so in sync that we can finish each other's sentences. I can look across the room and know when you need to be rescued. You can look across the room and know when I need to be rescued. And I thank God for that every day of my life. I mean, I look back over my life and I think about as a child how I would lay in bed at night and I'd dream and, you know, what my wife was going to look like, what my kids were going to look like, how many I was going to have, you know, where I was going to live, you know, all of that stuff. And everything that I wished for, I got. And some of it I wished I'd never wished for. But the most important parts of it that I prayed for so diligently as a child, I ended up getting, and they ended up being the most important things that I asked for. Right. So the love of you, of our children, of our family as a whole, of who we are, is who I am. Not Todd Chrisley from Chrisley Knows Best. Not that 22 minutes that you get to think you know who I really am. That's who I really am. I'm a man who loves his wife, who's in love with his wife. I'm a man who loves my children, and I love them beyond measure. The only thing I place in front of either of y'all is God. I don't care what other people think. I think that when we want to believe the worst in someone, it's because we feel so poorly about ourselves.
Right.
Because if you're already at a low in your own life, do you really want to see great things happening for someone else? Is that right. really what you're celebrating?
Right.
That's where the saying comes from, misery loves company.
Right.
So when you believe a negative about someone that you've had no interaction with, that you've never met and may never meet.
Right.
And you believe it because it was just in a tabloid or because it was on a newsreel or whatever, you know, it really doesn't bode well for you. Right. It doesn't bode well for the individual.
Right. And I think it's a natural feeling, you know, it's a natural emotion to have when you're out here, you know, you're trying to do good. You're trying to live a godly life. You're trying to you know, raise your kids right, you know. Do your job well, and nothing goes right. And you see out here people, just like
just
my grandmother
bad.
Used to say, just living like the devil. And, and you know, they're prospering, and they seem to have it all, and just seem to be just on top of the world. You know, you get like, okay, what's going on? What am I missing here? What is not, you know, this is not fair.
Right.
And I think it goes back to life's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
God never said it was going to be fair.
And listen, just because we don't see justice doesn't mean that God doesn't see it and that God's not going to show it in his time, in his reveal. Just because we don't think that, or we think it's unfair that we're not being rewarded because we're trying to live a godly life and this person over here is living a total opposite form of life than what we're living, but yet they're being rewarded. But are they really?
Yeah.
We're looking at them saying they're being rewarded because they have a nicer house or a nicer car, or they're right. traveling here and going there. And,
right.
You know, that's
or that little bit that we see on Instagram where they're
right.
highlighting. They're highlighting.
They're highlighting that one little good moment that happened in their life.
Yes.
They didn't tell you that before they took that picture, how they fought with their significant other and they were crying and, you know, all the stuff that was going on with that. They didn't tell you that part. But I think that, you know, we only know about people's lives what they want us to truly know.
Yeah.
And just because someone writes a story about you that's never met you, that's that they're running off of their perspective.
Right.
That's it. So that's kind of how I look at things. I mean, that's just how I look at them.
Right. I think we have time for a few callers.
Okay.
Hi, Todd and Chris Lee. This is Shannon. First thing, I'm a huge fan. I watch all the episodes over and over again. And fairly new to the podcast, but so far, such a fan. Thanks for all the laughs and the weekly talk that I listen to. First things first, with questions, can you give an update on Manny Faye? My prayers go out to her and y'all in the family. Second of all, I need advice for myself because my husband and I have been trying to conceive, however, unsuccessful. And I look at myself as a Christian, but I am not losing faith and know what happened in his time, but it's hard for me to really get any relief or hope out of scriptures lately, which is not normally who I am. I'm just becoming very discouraged, and they don't seem to really help me as much as they used to with other things I've struggled through. This infertility has just really been taking a huge toll on me, and I don't know how to find my hope in the scriptures anymore. So do you have any advice for me? Thanks for everything. Bye.
Thank you so much, Shannon, for calling in. I feel like I'm a broken record. When you start questioning your faith, that's when the devil starts to celebrate. And, yep. You know, so many, you know, we were just having this conversation over the weekend sitting at the kitchen counter about how many young couples are struggling with fertility.
Yes.
And how since the country started doing a census, we have the least amount of married couples in a household in the United States of America's history mm-hmm. since the census started.
Right.
And the reproductive issues are, I want to say they're 30 or 40% higher than they've ever been. That men's testosterone levels have dropped significantly. And women, the quality of their eggs have dropped significantly. Right. Now, how can you say that's not environmental?
Right. Or something. Food.
Well, that's environmental. Yeah, if it's food, it's environmental.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, but we just had this conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it goes back to so many people wanting to have a child that can't have a child or that struggles with having a child. But I think that where you need to be with this, Shannon, is that you need to lean into God. You need to lean into God. And I know that we've got so many people out here saying that every answer, Todd, is not leaning into God, but it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because what you're leaning into right now hasn't worked.
Right.
So why don't you try something that hasn't worked?
Yeah.
And so what I would say to you is that relax, calm down, enjoy your husband, let him enjoy you, enjoy each other from an emotional and psychological and spiritual level, which I believe makes the physical aspect of the relationship better. And don't be on, try not to be on such a routine because listen, guys are fickle. I mean, we all believe that our wives and girlfriends should be porn stars. And at the end of the day, we want you to be a porn star in the bedroom, but a pastry chef in the kitchen. Not saying that you can't do both, but what we've grown to in this country and in this world is that porn is such a big addiction that you start looking at that and you start thinking, this is the reality. This is what's missing in my life. Why is this not going on? And we fill ourselves with false expectations. So Shannon, stop, you know, try not to fill yourself with a false expectation of when you are supposed to conceive. Just manifest it and say, I'm going to conceive. I don't know what time frame it's going to be on. It's on God's time, not my time. And I know that when God feels that the most perfect time for me to conceive a child, whenever he deems that's the time, that's when I will conceive. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, go back to the Bible. I mean, look at the Bible of, you know, the story there. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was what? 80 or 90 years old, and she conceived. Now I know we know we're not back in the biblical times. We know you're not going to be throwing off a kid at 80 or 90. But going back to that, that's when it happened.
I think more importantly, it's about timing.
Exactly,
and it's not our time.
Yes, exactly.
And that's where we want to get married at this time. We want to stay married this long, and we want to get pregnant by this date and then have our first baby here so we can plan for our second baby to be this many months apart and you know, one, you know, that's not, it just doesn't always happen that way.
No.
And I think when you try to force it, it makes it even worse sometimes when you try to force it. And I have known so many people who, listen, my heart goes out to anyone who is battling infertility because that is an awful, awful, just all-consuming, horrible thing. But sometimes when people say, you know what, I'm not going to let it consume me anymore. Like you said, we're going to enjoy each other. We're just not even going to think about it for 6 months. Then it'll just happen. I mean, I've known so many people that's happened to. And, you know, it may be, you know, God's plan for you to adopt. There are so many children out here that need families so badly and that are just waiting to be adopted. So that may be an option, and that may be, you know, something that God leads you to. So mm-hmm. Shannon, I hope that helps you.
Okay. Shannon, I hope that helps you as well, and good luck and God bless. Next caller, please.
Hey, listen, Todd and Julie, this is Sherry. I was listening to 195. You made me laugh at the end when you talked about that lady from Douglasville. I haven't laughed since you hit your bump in the road, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to make it. It's not going to be fun, but you're going to make it.
Sherry, thank you so much, darling. I appreciate you calling in with that message. And I believe you. I believe you, and more importantly, I believe in my God. And, you know, you're referring to Egg on Legs from Douglasville. And, you know, I was listening, and I didn't feel so bad about this, Sherry, after I said what I said. I was listening to a sermon by T.D. Jakes, who I'm a huge fan of. And T.D. Jakes said, you catch me on some days, you might get Jesus. And you catch me on other days, and I ain't about your foolishness. And that day at Chick-fil-A in that restaurant with egg on legs, I was not, she did not catch Jesus, because I wasn't in the mood for her foolishness.
That's right. And he said, you back me in a corner and I'll show you who I am.
Exactly. And so, you know, you're talking about T.D. Jakes?
Yeah.
Yes. T.D. Jakes says, put me in a corner. Then you will get to know who I am.
Right.
A whole different version. But, you know, Sherry, I do thank you so, so, so much, because your message was so heartfelt and you took the time to call in. And for that, we are greatly appreciative, and we send our love and blessings to you and your family always.
Hey, Friday Night Lights fans. It's Not Only Football, Friday Night Lights and Beyond is an episode-by-episode discussion of the hit TV series Friday Night Lights, hosted by yours truly, Scott Porter, who played Jason Street on the show, and my two wonderful co-hosts.
Me, Zach Guilford, a.k.a. Matt Saracen.
And me, Mae Whitman, a.k.a. someone who wasn't on the show, but really, really loves it a lot.
We will also bring on some special guests, answer your questions, and tell you about what's going on in our lives today.
It's Not Only Football, Friday Night Lights and Beyond, coming soon wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose!
Next caller, please.
Hey guys, it's Liz. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. We're stationed here right now. My husband's in the Air Force, and we got here about 2 years ago, and kind of just, I really need your prayer and advice right now. When we first moved here, I had really lost my identity. I used to be a surgical tech, and then when we moved here with COVID and childcare, I started my own business. I've worked on my hands and knees for this business. It's grown to the top. It's been very successful. I've had employees. And I've worked really hard for this, and I got my identity back. I've been really, really happy, and now we're set to move again in 2 months. I know this is a military life. This is definitely expected, but I'm scared that if I move, I'll fall into another depression, and I'll lose my identity again, and that's what I'm most afraid of. I've been with my husband for 6 years, and I'm finally happy with myself and who I am, and I just need advice and prayer of how I'm going to be okay in the future, how I can process this and accept the move. I'm going to leave behind my employees, my business. It's going to continue to run. I'm just not going to be here. And it's affecting my marriage, because it's hard to accept that I could possibly lose myself again. So if you guys could just pray for me and give me some advice, then I'd really appreciate that. I love you guys. Appreciate you.
Hey, Liz from Arizona. Hon, you're going through the same thing that so many women go through every day of their life. And I'd love to be able to say that, you know, your situation is isolated, but it's not an isolated situation. Unfortunately, when you marry into the military, this is what you sign up for. And, you know, I've said this, you know, when Savannah was dating, you know, when she was dating an athlete, I just said, you know, don't crawl in bed with a snake, then bitch when it bites you. You know, I think you know what your situation is when you walk into it.
Right. And we thank God for our military.
Absolutely.
And
that's why I'm going to get to where I'm getting to, because yes, you built this business and you moved to Arizona and you've built a great business and you've shown yourself what you're capable of, and your self-esteem is where it needs to be. And I don't think that you should have to sacrifice your self-esteem. I don't think there's a sacrifice in your self-esteem in placing your marriage first. Placing your relationship with God first and then your marriage. Mm-hmm. And what you did in Arizona, you can do elsewhere, because you've already proven that you can do it.
Right.
So I think that you should find the level of accomplishment in what you've already done there in Arizona.
Right.
And be proud to know that you're serving your country, because it's not just your husband that's serving the country right now.
That's right.
It's you. It's the wives that are at home,
right,
that are standing behind their men that are on the front lines. It's the women that are on the front lines whose husbands are at home standing behind them.
That's right.
So every person that's involved in a relationship that's involved with the military is contributing to the sacrifices that are made.
Absolutely.
And so for that, Liz, I'm grateful and I extend my gratitude to you and to your husband. But this only affects your marriage if you allow it to.
That's right.
Because I can tell you that there is not any place in the world that I care to live without my wife. There is nothing that I have that I place more value on than I do my wife. There is, I just think that, you know, when a couple is married, that it's for better or for worse, and that you agree to be there for each other, you know, in the ups and the downs. And, you know, I know you view this as a down, but I'd rather you view this as, you know what? God has blessed you in Arizona, and he's got a greater blessing waiting on you in the next location. And you may become a blessing for someone that needs you that you're not even aware of. And God is taking you and placing you in their life. Maybe your work is done in Arizona. Look at the business that you've built, the child care that you've provided for families to where they could go out and be on a job and know that their child is safe. You know, look at what you're leaving behind. You're leaving behind a legacy, only to go and have the potential of building something greater. So I hope that you'll receive that message with the intent to which I've left it with you. So good luck and God bless. Next caller, please.
Hi, guys. Hey, this is Penny from Utah. Watched your shows for as long as they've been out and listened to your podcast. I can't wait for every Thursday to come around so I can listen to your Thursday podcast. Just one thing. I never thought I would be receiving so many great messages from you guys, because your shows always were just so funny. But I just want to say that I think you guys are handling, you know, what your trials and what you're going through with such grace. And each day I stand, and each day whenever I listen to you guys, I like to think, okay, what would Todd and Julie do? And thank you so much for letting us see this complete other side of you guys. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Penny from Utah. You know, I thought about moving to Utah one time. I thought that maybe becoming a Mormon would be sexy. Then I thought, I think I'm just more in love with the temples. So I'm going to kind of stay as a Baptist. But then I realized how cold it gets in Utah.
Yes, it does.
And I said, no, Penny, I can't come to Utah. I'm cold-blooded, so I can't come to Utah. So, you know, but thank you so much. I'm glad to know that you're getting, that what you're getting out of what we do is a blessing for you.
Absolutely.
And that it does help you in your life.
Absolutely. And that, you know, you see that there are other sides of us, you know, that are different than the show. And that was part of our reason for starting Chrisley Confessions, was so that, you know, people could see that there were other parts to Todd and Julie other than just what you see on the show. So we thank you. I thank you for the compliment of us, how we're handling our situation. We are doing the best we can do, and we're going to continue to do that. But
we're
going to
always, yes, we're going to always continue to do the best that we can do with the understanding that there's better to be done.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. I think we have time for one more question.
Hey, Todd, Julie. Name's Garrett from Illinois. I've been debating to make this phone call. Todd, how do you keep a good relationship with Chase? I've been trying to talk to my dad, get a good relationship with him, and we really don't see each other a whole lot. And they've been separated, mom and dad, since my childhood years. And I just kind of feel left out in the dark and been thinking about finding the Lord to help me. If you could, just give me some advice. Thank you.
Hey, Garrett. Thank you so much for calling in. How to stay close with your dad? How to be close with your dad? You know, and Chase, I've always been close with Chase. I mean, from the moment that he was born, I was in love with him. And I think that men, sometimes don't really know how to love completely.
Yeah.
Someone.
Right.
That was never an issue for me. I think that I completely fell in love with Chase the moment that he was born. Even before he was born, I loved him.
Right. But, you know, he's talking about his relationship with his dad.
Right.
And I think, you can attest to this, you know, I don't know how old Garrett is, but
there's ebbs and flows.
There's ebbs and flows, but also, like, your dad was from a different time.
My dad.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So,
my relationship.
So his dad may be, maybe older. He has to be older.
Yeah.
And so I think it's different because, you know, men were taught to be much more stern and less emotional and not to be soft and not to show emotion. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of hugs and a lot of I love yous. And I think if that's where his dad was from, he has to understand that.
Well, I think he has to understand it, but I also believe that the parent has an obligation. Just because you are from somewhere doesn't mean that's where you reside the rest of your life.
Right, but as his son, you have to foster that, you know, with your dad if that doesn't come naturally to him.
Right. Well, I think you have to have conversations about it, absolutely.
Right.
I just think that for me, with my children, that undying, unwavering love has always been there, and it was all consuming for me.
Right.
But going back to my dad, I knew my dad loved me, but my dad did not tell me every day, hey, son, how was your day? How was school? I love you, buddy. I didn't have that.
Right.
And I remember when I was 18 years old leaving to go to California. That was back, folks, when I was planning on becoming Brad Pitt before Brad Pitt became Brad Pitt. I remember my dad crying for the first time, and he walked me to the back door, and he hugged me, and he said, I love you, son. You can always come home. And I was 18, Garrett, when that happened. I think that we're going to get out of something what we put into it.
Yeah.
And what I would say to you is that you're young, you're another generation, behind your dad, and that what you're expecting from your dad shows that you're from another generation.
Yeah.
And so I think that you sit down with your dad and say, Dad, let's really get to know each other.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you what I'm missing in my life regarding you. And let your dad hear that, because maybe your dad doesn't even know that you're missing those things, that he doesn't know to give you something that he doesn't know you need.
Right.
I feel like God has blessed me with always being very intuitive with our kids. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yes, for sure.
I mean, I think because I invested that time in getting to know who our children were at their core.
Yeah.
So Garrett, what I'd say to you is that, buddy, I'm sure that your dad loves you, but he could be, he's just from a different generation. I don't know if he's from my generation or if he's from my dad's generation, but I can tell you that I think my children will be better parents than what we have been. And I think we've been pretty good parents, but I think that our children will take from what we have done with them, the parts that worked, and they'll toss the things aside that they felt didn't work for them.
Right.
And they'll create their own roles of what works for them and how they want to communicate with their child. So, Garrett, I hope that helps you. But let me leave you with this. All things through Christ are possible. I am positive that your dad loves you. Your dad may be like what my dad was. I mean, I had to wait until I was almost 18. Now, my dad told me he loved me, I'm sure, throughout my life. But the one time that resonated with me the most was when I was 18 years old, leaving to go to L.A. So I'm sure your dad loves you. And I want you to make the commitment to invest in communicating with your dad to help get you where you need to get to, because he may just not know how to communicate effectively. So good luck to you, buddy, and God bless you always. Well, folks, on that note, we're out of time. So again, thank you all each week for all the messages, for all the well wishes, the prayers, for holding us up, you know, for standing in the trench with us, for being our prayer partners. You know, we thank each and every one of you for that. We thank, Aaron today for doing, for recording this podcast for us. You know, Aaron works with Savannah. So, I mean, I was a little nervous when I realized she was going to be doing our podcast because I thought, are they setting us up to sabotage us so they can beat us in the ratings? So, folks, it's Erin Dugan. You know, she's the one who Savannah posts about all the time. You know, they're the ones who I don't believe anything they say to me. I question what they say because I know they're going to lie for each other. But yeah. With that being said, thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in each week to Chrisley Confessions, Chrisley Knows Best, Growing Up Chrisley, and all of the other calamity that the Chrisleys have going on. Until next week, good luck and God bless.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.